Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
77 years old is Ric Flair today.
Happy birthday, Rick. Woo!
And his daughter is apparently dating Puka Nakua.
That's exactly right.
So yeah. They say, they're also saying that maybe there's a possibility that Darren Peterson, no longer the first overall pick in the NBA draft, is now AJ DeBanza, is minus 150, Darren Peterson plus 120. It's weird that we almost have more clarity on who 3 through 5 is more than we have 1 through 2. Bill Simmons, great podcast, never talks college basketball. So, you know, college basketball is having some movement or a slight little renaissance this year with all the freshman talent. He doubles down on why AJ DeBanza should be the first overall pick.
I think AJ has to be the first pick. I think it would be insane not to take him first. This is a sure thing. And the upside that you could potentially have with Peterson, this chance that he might be this best guard of the last 20 years type of potential versus what we know we're going to get with AJ. I can't believe some of the stuff he's doing. So like space out for him, which they don't really do in college, where he's basically doing like a foul line post up. And the cool thing is he doesn't just have one move off this post up. He can do
looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart. I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
The turnaround to the left, he can do a turnaround follow-up to the other side, or he can do a spin, go to the basket. He can spin to the basket on either side. So he basically has 4 options from this one spot on the court. He's 19 years old. Like, nobody should be able to do this. Not to mention, he's the best athlete in every game he's in. He rebounds. He plays defense. He wants to be out there competing. I sound like I'm getting paid off by the BYU-Utah crew. I'm not. Yeah. I just think, like, I don't know how you pass on him. I can't believe he's an underdog to go number one. I think this is crazy. He has to be the number one pick.
The way I look at this is everything he just described, you could do that with Darren Peterson. And he wasn't the best athlete on every game they played because Darren Peterson was better than he was when they played
BYU.
That's
one thing I disagree with, yeah.
And the other thing, too, last night, DeBanza, 29-8-0 assists.
He's been on a heater. Yeah, where's the assist?
The assist, dude. Hey, Darren Peterson, 0 assists. We get you know, reprimanded for that, right?
She like, passed the ball.
She passed the ball. DeBanza, 0 assists last night. Okay. Big issue. Don't know if I can take that guy number one overall. My question to you guys, is there a wrong pick taking DeBanza or Peterson with the number one overall pick in the NBA draft? Because I think...
Today, no.
Everything that he described is what you can see Darren Peterson do. And I could go back with Bill Simmons and say, well, here's these 4 moments as well that I've seen Darren Peterson have where tying game 3 against Texas Tech on the road, followed up by a game-winning 3 on the road. 18 in the first half and saying, Bill, I think you got this. I'm not 100%. Go ahead. Now, if you'd have started talking about like attitudes and dedication and stuff like that, I might have listened because I don't know the truth, all of it behind why Darren Peterson's missing time. But from a talent's perspective, from what I've seen, I don't think there is a wrong answer to say I'm taking DeBanza or Peterson. I've just watched Peterson more. One is because his games aren't at 10 o'clock like they were last night for DeBanza or 9:30 on a Saturday, even though I did watch that game. But I don't know if there's legitimately a wrong pick between the two. And maybe this is something that we will see in the future of the NFL is like whoever picks 1 and 2 and whoever took who over the other, we will then again in sports rewind the clocks and go back and go to, well, let's see both these guys' careers play out and then judge the team through hindsight and see who took the right guy.
Well, I think when you're looking at this, let me ask this question before I get into what I think. Does Bill Simmons have good sources in the NBA?
I would think so.
Yeah,
yeah. Very much like, so.
You would think so, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty good friends with Brad Stevens.
Yeah, I would say he's probably got decent sources.
You've got good sources in the NBA. So guys like that don't necessarily give their opinion. They give their opinion based on what they hear from their sources. And so I'm listening to Bill Simmons, who I don't listen to his podcast. It's not my thing, right? Yeah. I'm not a podcast guy. And I'm listening to Bill Simmons, and I respect what he's been able to do. And the reason I ask you is because I assume that Bill Simmons has got a lot of sources in the NBA with much as he's been around and the connections that he has. And so I hear what certain guys have to say that are like these insiders and you know, prominent people like a Bill Simmons like that. And I go, it's not Bill Simmons' opinion. That's Bill Simmons' opinion based on what he's hearing from his sources in the NBA.
Gotcha.
So that's why I'm looking at this and I'm saying, yeah, you know, it's not Bill Simmons' quote-unquote opinion. It's Bill Simmons' opinion based on what he's getting from his sources around this league. That's how it works, you know, in this industry. You're around long enough, you talk to enough people that give you a little bit of information, and then you can use that to factually, you know, form your opinions. And Bill Simmons, to me, has always struck me as a guy that's well tied in, well-versed with sources, has a lot of good connections. And so I guarantee you Bill Simmons' people that he trusts in the NBA are starting to come over to him and say, look, guys, I don't know if he is going to be the number one pick. And Bill's using that as information to put out there to say, hey, it may not be the right guy to be that number one pick because that's what he's hearing from the sources that he has in the NBA. And no, they could be using him as smokescreen too, for all we know.
No, but that makes sense. Yeah, they could be. Yeah, but that makes sense. Yeah, he's got so much sources. Yeah, he's not just saying this, but he's probably heard this, and he also probably does think this. I think it makes sense, right? With all the DP drama, the DNP drama, rather, than you got AJ DeBans the last six games averaging over 30. Like, he's been awesome. Like, I'll give it to him, and I've been a hater. I see it. Like, I see it.
I think his over-under last night was 30 points.
It's unbelievable. No, I gotta give him credit. Mm-hmm. He's great. I was focusing too much on the downhill stuff, which I still don't think he's got a dribble worth anything. But Bill's right. Back to the basket. He's got a good 3-point shot. He's 6'9". He can jump.
What did you just say there?
He's got a good 3-point shot.
Do you know what the average number of 3-point shots taken in an NBA game is this year?
36. Oh, for one team or total?
Combined.
Oh, I would say it's probably 65.
50?
74.
Woo!
NBA games are seeing an average of 74 three-point shots per game. It's way too much. I advocated years ago getting rid of the three-point line. I think it's the worst thing that's happened to sports. And then you listen to Paul Pierce. He wants an LED three-point line that only goes on at certain times. I kind of like that, in the game to get a team back into a game.
Now you
light up the three-point line. I don't hate it.
I think another rule you could also have is you could also have the shot clock on the floor. Like they have, like for us, for like graphics, but they actually see
That'd
it. And
sick.
If you hit the shot from that spot, you get whatever total time is for points.
Where would you put the shot clock?
Above the 3-point line.
You could move it too.
Put it like at the 3-quarter line between the half court and three and be like 8, 7, 6. You shoot at the 6 and make it 6 points.
But oh, I see. You shoot on the clock.
But it'd be on the floor.
But it'd be on the floor like it is for us.
So you know how they have those.
Oh, on the spot?
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of cool. I'm up for it. Yeah.
You could move the spot too, depending on the time.
In the fourth quarter, it's back in the corner by the half court.
And so you want to move the ball off the court as quickly as you possibly can to get to that spot.
You might get an 18-point shot.
I love it. That's fun. Like late in the game.
How many points? Steph Curry.
125.
But I mean, yeah, he went 6 for 6 from three. That 121 points.
Yeah, hit that 18 shot 5 times.
Yes, exactly.
I think, sick. You know, the Elam ending is something that's been discussed in basketball.
That,
and I'm definitely for college basketball. Yeah. I'm 1,000% in on the Elam ending. I think that needs to happen. That will make games so much better.
Quicker.
At the end, quicker. And there's drama at the end with all of that. But so back to Bill Simmons for a second. And listening to him with his points is that I took that as Bill Simmons is just gathering all the information from the people that he knows in the league that aren't going to lead him astray. And he's listing all of these things that they're saying, and he's hypothesizing that, maybe the tide is turning on Darren Peterson because I'm hearing from a lot of these guys, and then presents it as his opinion. That way he looks smart. But this is how opinions normally get formed, by talking to the people around. And Bill Simmons, I do believe, is one of the guys that you can say is very sourced by the NBA. So we'll see. But the 3-point shot, very important. You mentioned he hits 3-point shots.
Yeah, he's got a good 3-point shot.
That's all this league is now. That's all they want, is guys that are going to put up 3-point shots. And if you got a big guy that can put up 3-point shots, he's got two things now. Darren Peterson, you know, is not the big guy. He doesn't have the size.
Yeah, he can't guard multiple positions like AJ DeBans. And no, there's things that lean his way. Yeah. The ceiling's much higher for Peterson, but that floor may be what someone wants. And it's like, I know what AJ DeBans is. So that's fair. yeah, we'll see what happens as it gets closer. Again, I still hold true to the fact that that's fine. He could be minus 300. 2 weeks in March will change all of that.
Of course it will. But if he gets knocked out in the first round, then
you show up.
Yep. Because if you look at the stats, Big Monday, KU is unstoppable. Saturdays, they're not good.
Not good.
You're probably playing on a Saturday.
That's true. You
know, moving forward. So figure out how to play on a Saturday.
Coming up on the other side, Veach spoke, and so did the city of Lawrence, about some certain individual rigging the student section at Lawrence, Kansas, here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
All right, so in the break, I'm scrolling through Twitter, and I find this post, and I want to get your guys' perspective on this. It says, my dad still sends money to my mom randomly, even though they broke up 28 years ago.
Why?
He gave her $300 last Mother's Day, and so one day I asked him, quote, why do you still do that after all of these years? Because he has rebuilt his life long ago with someone new. I was just really curious about his motive, quite honestly. This man answered, my father always told me, if you ever have a kid with a woman, you owe her for life. Agree or disagree?
Boy, I've never heard that before.
Yeah, good for you and your dad teaching that lesson. Yeah, I'm not going to abide by that.
28 years separated.
Yeah. I mean,
that's admirable.
I'm not answering the phone if I ever got to, not that I do now, but
jeez.
I mean, talking on the phone is that's an interesting one. I totally respect that guy.
Yeah, I admire it.
I admire and respect that guy. Like, that is setting a good example for your kids, I think, when you do something like that. You don't have to do something like that. But at the end of the day, if you're divorced, we know how it works most of the time. The kids end up more time with the mom. That's just kind of the way it goes, unless the mom's lunatic and then dad gets custody, right? But if you're spending your time at your mom's place and she's struggling to make ends meet, well, that in turn is going to make it a little bit more difficult for her to provide for you as well. Mm. And even though we got divorced, that's still my child, and I still want to make sure my child has what they need, he or she needs, when they go to mom's house. And mom may be in between jobs, or maybe mom is unemployed at this point in time. Maybe mom just needs a boost. And so at the end of the day, essentially what he's doing is taking care of his kid by taking care of the mother. So when the kid comes over, she can have a meal or whatever it is. We don't know the semantics of everything that took place. But the more I think about it, I'm like, that's an honorable dude. I wouldn't have done that. I never would have thought to have done that. And I know most of my friends that have been divorced, they've got the date circled of when that last check has to be written. But that's just an admirable thing, man. That's kind of cool, actually. You don't see many good things like that. You always say, Dusty, do something nice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's one of those things that you don't tell people you're doing. You're just helping out that lady, and at the end of the day, you did the right thing.
So my question would be, like, why wouldn't you just give the kid money?
Well, because you're trusting a kid. Like,
been 28 years at this point, so, like, the kid's grown.
Now, yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying, but still does it.
Yeah, but
like,
still does it.
Because he's like, mother, hey, yeah. I have a check.
Maybe there's a grandchild involved, or maybe he's just a good dude that, yeah. You know, maybe sometimes you get divorced, and it's not because you hate that person. You're just not compatible anymore. There's a lot of people that you see that get divorced and say, we're better friends than we ever were as a married couple. And, you know, maybe that feeling kicks in. I don't know. I'd love to know more about, you know, why he did that. But I think it's kind of a cool, chivalrous, easy enough for me to say, thing, you know, that he did that kind of taking care of her. Yeah, maybe there's a grandchild involved, too.
Yeah, this says once the kid's 18, that stops.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, my parents, like, they divorced, and there was it was funny because, like, my parents did not end on a good note. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'd get the money order from dad. We'd drive us up, take that in your mom.
Yeah.
All right. You don't want to do it? No. Yeah. Have a good night. I'll see you in 2 days.
Right.
Because we were different. We did, like, Monday was mom, Tuesday was dad, Wednesday was whoever you were at the weekend, Thursday was mom, and then the weekend started Friday and you alternated. So it was very confusing. I actually got out of missed homework assignments for that, even though they might not have always been the truth. But right. I was like, can I explain to you my situation at home? They're like, yeah, sit down. Is everything okay? Like, yeah. Just I'm here. Okay. Bring it tomorrow. Yeah. I'm like, all right. And I look at my backpack. Like, there it is.
Right there. Yep. I'll get
Got
it
her again.
Yep.
But either way, there is some drama in Kansas because you've got somebody kind of skewing the system for student seating, and they sent out a press release from camping leadership.
Camping leadership and called out a person in a press release,
but not themselves.
Too. No, you don't call out yourself. Of course in something not. Like this. No, but you call out Kylie, was it, or Riley, whoever it was over there, Riley over there at KU, who was screwing up with the camping. And so for those that don't know, I think most people know, people camp out for the KU basketball games, the students, for the, you know, the best seats available. We used to do it as well. A lot different back in our day. There was a sheet of paper on the wall with everybody's name, and that was it. And you just kind of followed the order. Now they've got it more, I guess, high tech. And they sent out this message. We're aware of a message sent by one of our camping leaders describing the falsification of a numbered chip some groups pulled this morning at a lottery. With this being the final home game of her senior year, a selfish action was taken that goes against what ourselves as a group and the entire student body believes in. These two groups have now been moved to the bottom of the order, and Riley no longer be associated with camping leadership. The integrity of Kansas basketball is essential to us, and we're taking action to keep lotteries fair and honest. Nothing is bigger than KU basketball, and we will hold our members to the same standard. Camping leadership. Yeah, you're right. They sent out a press release on this.
Nothing in Lawrence, is Kansas, bigger than Kansas basketball.
Right, that's exactly right. Nothing.
Not a thing.
Not in Lawrence. Nothing.
Specifically in Lawrence.
No, but nothing is bigger than KU basketball. So I'm assuming they're talking the world, right? They didn't say in Lawrence nothing is bigger than KU basketball. They just said nothing is bigger than KU
They've
basketball.
They've never had a pizza from Minetti's in Orangeburg.
I'm telling you, that sounds good, actually.
But he was pure.
Pure Italian, huh?
Come on in here, boys. Yeah. You want to see how it's made? I was like, does this swear us in?
Yeah, absolutely it does. So, yeah, nothing bigger than KU basketball. So this Riley girl was out here, like, you know, fixing the lottery. And in Lawrence, I mean, this is probably the biggest news story of the day in Lawrence. I mean, I was talking to my friends.
Play Arizona Saturday.
I know, but yeah, this was cheating. I had friends whose daughters and kids are up there. You know, we were all on a text thread yesterday. Everybody's trying to get to the bottom of this, laughing our asses off. I know another kid who's up there that's kind of, you know, part of this thing in a roundabout way. I was talking to him a little bit last night about this thing. And the kids at like KU, dude, are like, this is serious to them, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing these stories and I'm just laughing my ass off, because when you're at 20, 21 years old, this is like the biggest thing in your world. This is a major crisis right now that is taking place on the campus of the University of Kansas. Like, this is going to be talked about till the end of basketball season. And if you're this Riley girl, can you go on campus anymore? Like,
sure.
Can you show your face in class or at the bars or hang out with people, or people looking at you like you're the scum of the earth because you've been rigging these basketball lotteries?
It depends. Like, Mac and I were talking about this earlier. So if you were not awake or in your car, or if you did hear it, thanks for continuing to listen. But to me, it's one of those things. It's like a feel out thing. Like, obviously they're going to be pissed and everybody's mad, but obviously it's been addressed and it should be over with, right? Whatever. Sucks. There's only like 2 weeks left. There's only one game left in Kansas, and it's against K-State at home it's in Kansas against K-State for senior night.
Yeah.
Which there's another record for Bill Self. If you want to look up those numbers, it's
senior night undefeated. Yeah. One of those.
I don't know
if
it's undefeated, but his record on senior night is just ridiculous. It's up there with like the 41-0 on Big Monday, whatever it may be. Or what is it? The other one, 23 losses in 23 seasons or something like that.
Yeah.
It's stupid. But I think you go to campus and you kind of like, you know, do that. And then you could also use this to your benefit and be like, after class, go up to the professors in each class you have and be like, hey, here's the deal. Number one, your class is more important than I am, and I don't want to be a distraction. Two, here's the story of why I am a distraction. Three.
Oh, they'll know.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And then you could be like, hey, is there any option for me to just like do everything online, or do I need to be here? And if I have to be here, can I just come to like your office? Because professors I learned in college are very submissive towards, that's not the right word. They're very open to like you and them to have that relationship. Cause I remember when I was interning for your guys' show, right? Billy Butler came to studio that one day, and I told my math teacher, I was like, I will never miss class. I will sit in the front row and I will stay after if I have any questions, but I won't cause any distractions during it. Like when they say, all right, do we need to go over it again? There's that one kid like, can you start over? And you're like, oh dude, like I want to know what the next lesson is so I can get a head start. And Billy Butler was coming to studio, and you guys were like, hey, you need to be here, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, sure, yeah, it's internship. I want to make my stamp on this building. And I told my professor, I went to her, I was like, hey, I'm going to miss tomorrow's class or Friday's class because there's this deal. Turns out she was a diehard Royals fan. Turns out she listened to Fesco and Kling all the time, or Fesco in the Morning. And she's like, you're interning for that show? She's like, yeah. I'll send you the email. Thanks for coming to me about it and not telling me afterwards.
Yeah, of course. That's the way you do it. Yeah.
I think that's one of those things where that situation would come forward, but it's also just first world problems in Lawrence,
Kansas. It really is,
like,
yeah.
How dare I have to stand on the fourth row, not the first?
Yeah.
You know, like, come on. But yeah. I get it. I mean, my buddies were DKY frat boys at KU, and when they pledged, they had to wear poop suits and all this sort of stuff, which were white shirts tucked into blue jeans, and they went on a cleaning spree at the frat house on Sunday mornings. They also were the people that stood in line, you know, and went through a rotation.
And yeah. Did all that stuff.
They did all that stuff. So, I mean, I understand, like, the hatred towards maybe this person because of what you've had to go through, because of how special and unique it is to be a student at KU. I'm not into KU. I'm not a student there. I mean, I went to UCM where you could just show up at 10:05 and the game started at 10. You could stand on the front row. Right.
Right, yeah.
And they won a national championship that year.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I understand probably the envy and jealousy of it. Also the hatred, the negativity towards it. But again, you're all going to move on. You're all going to games. You're all having this. It's unfair. Money talks. She probably took some sort of payment from people. I would assume that's how this works.
Well, I think what happens is what I was gathering by talking to people involved in the situation is that these camping leaders, they have like a leadership council, which is ridiculous.
Sounds like HOA.
It does. Very much so. Like, I hate to be this guy, but she's going to be a sweet Karen someday. I mean, she is going to be driving that silver minivan around yelling at the Starbucks people. Like, I can just see it right now with Riley, right? Like, that right there has got Karen written off.
She's going to post on the Ring app?
Yeah, right? Like, you're cheating and fixing camping sections in college. You telling me she's not going to be a Karen someday and marching into every school and yelling at every coach about what her kid is not able to do? Karen in the making right there. But I will say this, she's not the only one, and she's the one that is getting the brunt of it because she's on the committee. Everybody knew that this was going on from what I'm gathering. Like, people have been saying this has been happening for years, and I guess the people who were in charge of the campus leaders, or the camping leadership, well, what were they doing? They were fixing it so their people would get closer to the floor. Like, I know it sounds like I can't believe it took this long to figure it out. But now that the, you know, people have come clean on this, everybody is like mad at this girl and one of the fraternities on campus, as opposed to being mad at everybody who allowed this to go on. Because while she's culpable, she wasn't the first to do this. They're just following in the footsteps that have been passed down for, you know, the last 5-10 years, however long they've been doing it this way.
So in layman's terms, as we wrap this up and move on to Brett Veach, what exactly was she doing?
She was basically fixing the lottery so her people could be closer to the court, you know, which is essentially what all the folks were doing that were in charge of that. But I mean, it was just easier back then. Just yell here and you're here. And that was that. Now we've got, you know, I don't know what they're using for a lottery and how they're doing it, but it's not on the up and up and people are mad. So now that's come to a head.
But Miss Riley, if you would like to plead your case, have an open forum here on 96.5 The Fan.
About it. Yeah.
We will listen to the story from the source. Speaking of the source, we heard Brett Veach, and he talked about the cliche of best player available.
Arguably some of the best players in this draft are maybe at non-premium positions when you look at, you know, the Ohio State linebacker, the Notre Dame running back, the safety at Ohio State. So, I mean, those are really, really good players. It's hard to find faults with their tape. I really saw it. But again, some of those more premium positions, interior D-line, edge rushers, you know, they're hard to find. And with those guys, the problem with those guys is they're hard to find, and then they don't really become available in free agency. Some of those other positions, they're good players. You'll probably eventually get a chance to get some of those positions in free agency. So that's kind of the things you just have to weigh, you know, kind of go through and weigh out all the options. But at the end of the day, I think you just want a guy that's going to come in here and be a great contributor on the field, off the field, and stick to that old mantra, take the best player available, right?
Boy, he's in midseason four.
Yeah, right? That's great cliches, Brett. Got to give you a round of applause on that one. I mean, that was I mean, that was as good as misdirection that I've ever seen. I mean, yeah, A B C D best player available, premier
college,
position,
not name. Could you imagine the hatred Binkley would have? Because Binkley was on that narrative for a while that Brett Veach doesn't draft Big Ten players.
That's right.
Or Ohio State players.
Ohio State players because they cheated the 40-yard dash.
Ohio State players.
Right.
If he does get Caleb Downs to fall there, that'd be back-to-back years they take Ohio State picks. Would we hear another, I hate that pick.
I think it's 40 times. It's no good.
Now, we have seen in recency that the mock drafts have Caleb Downs going a little bit earlier than nines.
Yeah.
Mel Kiper, the vampire, said that the Jets have a possibility of
taking him.
At two overall. But it is interesting because a lot of people are going to have their minds persuaded one way or the other weekly, depending on how much you know dive into mock drafts. Obviously, the Character Concerns podcast will come out later today. If not today, it'll be Thursday morning with Chris Nocero and Jay Binkley, who do all the homework that none of us signed up to do.
That's exactly right.
But they do, and they do an exceptional job at it. And Binkley still is adamant wide receiver. And you look at guys that we saw yesterday get announced in the world of sports that involve football. Breece Hall going to get a franchise tag.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Pitts going to get a franchise tag. Mm-hmm. So you can see where these guys are starting to like kind of maybe move out of the picture. And unfortunately, Breece Hall is in there. Now, there still is a guy like Travis Etienne. So I think people like you, Mr. Fesco, and Mac Morey as well, want the Chiefs to maybe go to the ATM to get Etienne to be a running back in this backfield. And then there's also the possibility of like if it is best player available and your options in free agency that he said that there's some guys you might have a chance to get, some guys you may not. Maybe the best player available could end up being Jeremiah Love at nine.
It may be. I mean, but that was as good a talking in circles as Brett has done. I mean,
he knows what he's done.
Brett, you're getting really good at this, my man. Because now I'm thinking, and this is my honest reaction, I don't really care anymore. Just give me the guys. I'm ready for this to be over right now because I know they're going to do a good job because they always have done a good job.
Right.
Maybe some are better than others, but for the most part, you're grading these drafts over the last 10 years. They're well above average. So I know we're going to get a very good player at number nine, and it's going to be a player that I would think would fit into this system for a very long time, hopefully, whether it's offensive or defensive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can't go in looking for position or need. You start doing that, and then that's when you F it all up. You know, you just got to take the best player available, and other than a quarterback, obviously, but you just got to go with that best player available, and you'll never be wrong because the good players always find a way to dominate. And he's right about free agency. Good players don't get the free agency either. And Breece Hall's not going to get the free agency. Kyle Pitts not going to get the free agency. All those names that we want, these teams, that's why they franchise them, because they don't allow them to get the free agency. And so that's why you have to make hay with those positions sometimes in the draft.
You also hear Brett Veach speak about a former free agent and young kid, no longer young anymore, what the conversations have been between 87 and the organization.
Yeah, I think we've kind of taken a different approach with Travis in the sense that I think, you know, we've kind of prepared for either scenario. And Coach had mentioned on Friday, he's had great dialogue with Travis on our end, myself, Chris Shea, Travis's crew. We've had some good dialogue there. And I'm sure we're going to see him here just like we will all the other players' agents, and we'll continue that dialogue. But Travis is the best. He's an icon, and hopefully he comes back, and we'll just kind of let that process play out. It's not your typical, hey, 27-year-old, first time at free agency. I mean, Travis has done everything. He's accomplished everything. He's about to get married. He's got a lot going on. And so I don't think there's an element of us not trying to, you need some sort of deadline timeline, but at the same time, I mean, it's Travis Kelce, so we're going to just continue to have positive dialogue and see where this thing ends. But I think we're trying to position ourselves that either way, you know, we have a plan moving forward.
So two things out of this. One, should we readjust flies on the window or Travis Kelce decision? For those of you that don't know about the flies on the window, Bob killed two massive, massive flies on this window in this office that we have. They're still there, and he did it on what? Like December, like 15th?
No, it wasn't quite December. I think it was after the first of the year.
So it was like January.
It was mid-January.
So January, let's say January 8th.
Mac, did you write down that date by chance when I killed those flies?
No, I did not.
Come on, Mac. That's important information.
Definitely thought it was before the new year, though.
No, it definitely was not before the new year.
Okay. I thought it was before we took the Christmas hiatus.
No, I think it was definitely after that.
Okay.
So I'll set the new, what is it, March 11th is when free agency happens?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say St. Patrick's Day is the day that we have a decision. Do you want to take before or after St. Patty's Day with Travis Kelce and his decision with Kansas City?
I'm going to say before because the league year starts on the 11th. But I will say, however, I don't care what Travis decides. It should have no impact on how you're building your team going forward.
Sure.
You know,
but it's just a topic of off-season conversation with the Chiefs.
But like, I hope they're not, and I don't think they are. They're not stupid. Like thinking, oh, we got to figure out what Travis does before. No, Travis. Like, if you get Travis back, that's the gravy, right? That's the end of the meal. That's your dessert. You get him back. I don't think you should make any plans based on Travis Kelce. But I think we will know sooner. Let me ask you this one: will we know sooner about Travis or Aaron Rodgers?
Travis
for sure.
Rodgers is going to milk that thing.
We'll find out about Rodgers in June.
You think it's because now they're saying Father's Day or Rodgers? Oh, I think we'll know. I think we'll have a pretty good take on Rodgers soon. Like, he wants to go to Minnesota, man. So if Minnesota wants him, nine or Rodgers?
Nine. I'm not doing that.
What does Aaron Rodgers do for you as a franchise right now? It just bides you a year of being 10-7.
I mean, the defenses in that division, you look at Detroit with that defensive line with Aiden Hutchinson, he will eat Aaron Rodgers alive two times a year.
Yeah, he just can't move.
No. I just think that the way the game is evolving is you have to have some movement. Like, you're watching these statues like die out quickly before our eyes. Like, you're watching – now, Joe Flacco's an exception. Mm-hmm. He's somehow making it, but he's been a Band-Aid. It's not like he's somebody that's going to get you to the promised land.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Aaron Rodgers, to me, is like, that's, you're wasting a year if you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback.
Unless you go get somebody and like make a massive trade up and you think that Ty Simpson is your future out of Alabama and you trade up to get him, like, in the, maybe you don't have to trade up to get Ty Simpson either if you're Minnesota. And then you go get Aaron Rodgers. But again, like, it's kind of the whole thing. Like, I
Rodgers as like my mentor. I don't know.
Maybe and will fine. He do it?
Yeah, exactly.
And will he do it? Because isn't he the guy who? Oh, no, that was Roethlisberger.
Like, if that's the case, then I'm going and getting Kirk Cousins. I'm having a reunion. Fans will love it. He will be a much better mentor, more open to all that.
Relationship with Double J.
Yep. Yeah. Show him how to use that Kohl's cash.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. If you're going to go that route, if you're Minnesota, go back. Go back to get Kirk Cousins. That's a better fit than what Aaron Rodgers is going to bring.
Who plays longer, Rodgers or LeBron James? And have both exceeded their limitations. Well,
I think they both have. I think both leagues need to move on from both of these guys. I think they're anchors on the league. I really do. I mean, it's all we talk about is Aaron Rodgers, and LeBron. Like, maybe part of the reason that the NBA is not able to move forward is because we still have LeBron in the way of allowing these new stars to move forward.
Is LeBron the statue version of an NBA player? Horrible defense, kind of is a blockade to his team.
Yeah, he's a blockade. Yeah, he's a drama.
I mean, he's still putting up 20 plus at the age of 41. Yeah,
he's still so good. And when he wants to be good on defense, he can for 5 minutes. Like, he's for a 5 minute stretch. Like,
that's about all the NBA players play defense.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, no. I
what?
The hell was that?
A new drop created by the voice of Mac Morey.
Yeah, the NBA players only play 5 minutes of defense. Mac?
Oh, yeah, man.
That a guy from sales?
Yes, exactly.
Dude, happened. Sweet Patagonia jacket. I have the same one. Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, that's your girl from college? Yeah, we dated. Oh, thanks. That's great. I think it's before. I think I'm going to say after St. Patty's Day for Kelce.
For a 5 minute stretch. Like,
that's about all the NBA players play defense.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
There it is.
I don't even know what that is. Were you agreeing with me? Like, what were you doing?
I was being the no defense guy.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't play any defense in the first time they play defense in the NBA will be the first time.
Yes.
Right, yeah. When was the last time you watched an NBA game, sir?
Never.
Thank you.
Whoa.
Sorry.
That was AI.
Turn it off. That's great.
Mac or Stern?
Hey, I can relate to that for sure. Man, I'm not kidding.
We've lost all control. Yeah, Houston, we have a problem. Coming up on the other side, we'll get into, flags from the booth. Not in Lawrence, just legitimate flags from the booth here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Mac, did you almost have a false start there?
I think I did.
I was just talking to the guys from 10 to 2, Cody, Golden, Drew. Alex said he played it all day yesterday as well.
Oh, they couldn't get enough of it.
I told Cody, I was like, the thing that we can't get over is the inhale before the hut.
It's so good. He was saying it should be a 50-yard penalty anytime a quarterback tries to do that.
50 yards is egregious.
He's like, stop doing the we all know you're not going to hike it fake. And that was his.
That is kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Which, as I got older watching football, I would just look at the play clock.
Yeah, you just know.
And if they like walk up with like 6 seconds left, they'd be like, all right, we can get a beer.
Well, but then you still have people jump off sides.
Mm-hmm. Not if that's your cadence.
You know, you still have people that jump off sides. So that's why they do it, because you still have idiots. Everybody and their brother knows this is not a play.
Right, yeah.
Oh man, what a Wednesday. So the NFL obviously rule changes. NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations Troy Vincent, great corner for the Philadelphia Eagles, suggested the possibility Monday while speaking to reporters during the break in the meeting. Quote, you don't want to just be expanding the Pandora's box, Troy Vincent said, but we believe that the things like non-football act, you can really, really restrict what that is. That's something that we believe that potentially there's a little bit of tweaking in the language. That may be the first step, meaning I think that if you see something in a replay and it picks up on the screen, like, hey, actually, that guy had a face mask, you can then re-throw a flag.
Yeah,
Maybe let's not make games longer.
That's the thing for me. It's not because I want, you know, the technology or anything like that. Football games already are very, very long. And football, quite honestly, after looking at the numbers, has the least amount of action of any sport. Only 6% mm-hmm. of the time is the football moving in a football game.
Because the NFL Competition Committee is discussing the possibility of authorizing replay officials to throw flags for specific penalties.
Yeah, that just bogs so down the game.
Yeah.
You're continuing to elongate the game, because we know how penalties and stoppages of play in the NFL work, guys. Like, I think that's why people are scared of ABS. They think it's going to be like what an NFL penalty review is, and it's not. I mean, baseball reviews, whether they're looking at, you know, the old school review that we've had now for a few, those are fast too. Those don't take any time at all.
Well, and anytime the NFL's told us they were going to expedite the process, even with the, what is it, the line
that takes forever for that thing to show up.
That was a real eye opener. I think, Mac, were you and I at that game
was
when
a
that
wet
happened?
Fart that I,
you and I think we were covering that game, and they're like, gonna, because again, it all came back to, it doesn't matter what the line shows, it's where the ref puts the ball.
Right.
So again, you didn't really fix anything.
No, you didn't.
And then I think when we were there, it was like you, me, and Alex. And it was like five and a half minutes before they even decide if it was a first down or not. We're like, what are we doing here?
That's just too long. People don't have that attention
ABS
span anymore.
ABS is 15 seconds.
If that. I don't even think it's 15 seconds, Dusty. I mean, it's much quicker than that. Baseball has done a great job with replays and ABS. It's so fast. And the NFL is more concerned about giving you commercials than they are, you know, moving the game along.
Even red zone.
And yeah, exactly. And so, and I understand that's what pays the bills, and it's only going to get worse because the NFL is not backing down. They want more and more and more and more and more, and the TV networks are going to continue to pay. So they're going to have to find a way, obviously, to generate more, you know, commercials. But I am against flags from the booth, because the game of the NFL is a very stagnant game. People think baseball is a slow game. The ball moves 10% of the time in baseball. It moves 6% of the time in the NFL. 40% of the time in hockey, and like 80% of the time in basketball. When you start to compare how much the ball is actually in play, the NFL is by far the slowest game that we have, but we don't view it again. Perception. We view all this action in the NFL. Oh, the perception of the NFL is action, action, action. 94% of the time, we're standing around scratching ourselves, watching guys stand around and scratch themselves, whether it in a huddle, whether it be a replay, whether it be whatever. The NFL game has gotten bogged down. And so Mac was saying the other day about like what could kill the NFL and you know how that eventually could go away. Continuing to make games longer for no reason and taking the action and reducing the action even further in an NFL game, that's what's ultimately going to kill this league. I mean, 6% of the time is when the ball moves in the NFL. Just think about that. That's nothing.
Should be very interesting from the fans' perspective when that first penalty gets called. There was no holding on the play.
Yeah.
But after further review, we noticed there is illegal hands to the face defense.
I mean, no.
What in the world?
Yeah. No.
You get a second chance? You get to correct the answers for a B?
Because
half credit?
Let's think about it, though, for a second. You know, these referees are human beings as well. And sometimes they do let things go that aren't egregious. What if you go up to the booth and then somebody else thinks that that's an egregious penalty and the ref missed it? Now that guy looks bad when you're kind of playing within the flow of the game. So no, I do not need, you know, somebody, the eye in the sky, making more calls and slowing this game down any further than it's already been slowed down.
And yeah, when you talk about them being their own worst enemy and getting in their own way. I mean, look at you mentioned baseball, but yeah, basketball too. A lot of action. Hockey was the one I really talked about after that gold medal game on After Hours on Monday, being like, could this be the main sport in America one day? Because it has all the elements of what we want and what we like in America as sport.
Yeah.
It does. It's got action. It's got heart. It's got violence. It's got hitting. That's why we like football. Like, don't make it complicated than it is. We like people seeing people hit each other.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at a basketball, the actual time in play, 33% of the broadcast time is actual time in play for the NBA, 50% for soccer, 40% for hockey, 10% of the baseball broadcast is actually balls in play, and 6% of an NFL broadcast is actually balls in play. And the NFL has the longest amount of broadcast time, from 190 to 200 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? Roughly.
We have more to watch. We have more content. We don't need to sit for 3 hours to watch 5 minutes of football. You've got
15 minutes is all that the ball isn't played in the NFL. Over about 18 minutes in baseball, 60 minutes in hockey, the puck is in play.
Yes.
So that's the entire time. 48 minutes in basketball, that's the entire time.
Yes.
And then soccer, 55 to 60 minutes with the flopping and all that kind
of
stuff. But like, people, again, the perception is that football is this action-packed sport. And really, it's the longest to play. Like, we're worried about speeding up baseball games. We're worried about speeding up college basketball games. Football games, everybody's just content to watch 11 minutes and 3-plus hours. 6% of the time you're getting action. Nobody ever complains about the pace of a football game.
But to kind of what we talked about last year, a lot of that could be red zone, too.
Yeah.
Red zone has changed that. You know, people aren't actually watching football games.
They're not actually watching football games. You're absolutely right about that. And that's something I've realized over the last couple of years, is like, you watch red zone, you're missing these games. Because then we get to the playoffs and people are going, this is boring. So red zone
football.
Yeah. But red zone maybe has been the thing that saved the NFL's bacon. Like, what if they didn't have red zone and everybody was just forced to watch the game like we had to in the past, and you couldn't have something like red zone? Would the NFL be as popular? I don't know the answer to that question. Because fantasy football, gambling, and red zone, I think, are three of the most important things in the NFL.
Well, you've also, I don't know if you said this already, so I apologize for not listening, but remember when we would always go back and say, if you can't watch a game, you'd record it?
And like, then watch it, you watch the condensed version.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I used to do that. In like an hour.
DirecTV used it back
crazy.
In the day. Back in the day when DirecTV had Sunday Ticket, you would get the next day, you would get on your phone or the app, you would get all of the condensed games. And I used to go to the gym and rewatch the Chiefs game in like 20 minutes because I was doing some running or whatever, and I just put it there in front of me, and they chopped it all up, condensed it all up. You could see every play if you wanted to watch that. And that was still 20 minutes. The ball only moved 11 to 15 during an NFL game.
Yeah, because somebody said from the 785, I've read some stat that from snap to tackle, there is less than 14 minutes of actual football during the 3.5 hour
game. Yeah, 11 to 15 on average, yeah. 11 to 15 minutes on average, and we're complaining about the pace of game in every other sport but the NFL, and we want to stop it down even more. No. I think what the NFL should really do to know the value of it, I love your thought, Mac, get rid of red zone for 1 year and see what the popularity of the NFL is without red zone.
I would not.
I'd still be there watching, get my three TVs, six games out.
Right,
yes,
yeah.
But I mean, I love red zone.
Yeah. I just want to see what it does for the league.
I love being, I have to know everything as fast as possible. And I love being able to track my fantasy and bets, and nothing gives me that experience more than red zone in the moment for what it is. Because nothing's better than like hanging out with your buddies and all of a sudden Scott Hansen cuts to a scene and goes, anybody got Njoku on their fantasy team? Watch this highlight. And you're like, all right, sweet. I don't need to go to my phone immediately. So like, I maybe I'm you know, not as a true fan as some may say, but like for the entertainment aspect of it, I love Red Zone.
No, entertaining, no, very
good. You're in the majority.
Yeah. No, I would just love to see it just as a case study, right? A test case, or however you want to say it. This year, no Red Zone. Let's see how popular the NFL is.
Yeah, how much do you like the sport?
Right.
Yeah.
I would love to see it. I would love to see people's reaction if they're forced to watch what year did Red Zone start?
Oh, wow. I'll look it up while you guys discuss.
Because what I'm getting at is the younger generation.
15 years? 10 years?
Okay, so let's say your generation, Mac, you guys were raised with Red Zone being a thing, right? Everybody knew what Red Zone was. Your generation never had to really watch the game from start to finish because you watched the highlights all after. And I'm not saying you, but I'm saying this, you know.
Yeah, probably a few years young, but yeah. Close, right on that line.
Right, yeah.
Launch date, September 13th, 2009.
So 2009. Yeah. Okay, so 17 years ago they launched that.
Gosh.
And the NFL has grown in popularity, has grown with the Red Zone. People love. I would just love to see what happens to the league, what happens with people's comments and thoughts about the NFL. If they said maybe you just do it for 2 weeks. 2 weeks, no Red Zone. Yeah. Watch your game. And I want to see what people say, because I do think we'll see a lot of what we saw in the playoffs where people are like, this is boring. Because we did. Like, I was stunned by that.
Wow.
And then I realized everybody's watching Red Zone. There's never a stop in the action. There's never a moment where there is no action going on. But when you watch a game.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
There's a lot of standing around. So back to the original point. We do not need anybody else getting involved in slowing down an NFL game.
Please. Well, there's one big problem of why you can't get rid of Red Zone for any amount of time, because as of August 2025, the NFL Red Zone channel estimated to generate approximately $500 million in annual revenue from roughly 5 million subscribers.
There
you
go.
Yeah, they would never do it.
Yeah. So, hate to be Buzz Killington.
Yeah.
It's going nowhere.
It's going nowhere.
To have a billion-dollar profit.
I wonder if they'll put that up eventually for bid.
Never know. Everything has a price. By the way, the term Red Zone itself is referring to the area between the 20-yard line and the goal line, which was popularized by the Washington Redskins coach Joe Gibbs in the early 80s.
Yes.
If you know now, you didn't know then, now you do. Now, go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay safe, stay kind, stay groovy. Oh, no, I went off sides. Talk to you tomorrow. Ben Maller joined. Enjoy Cody Golden Drew, didn't you?
This is Fesco and Dusty.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.